we're getting settled and turning there. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Yeah. I just want to thank Craig and Seth and Ted for bringing the Word of God to us over these last 3 weeks. And I just want to thank each and every one of you for just granting Pat and I that time over these last 3 weeks that we just really needed to pull ourselves together a little bit. I don't think it'll ever happen fully, but just a lot going on, and we needed some time to just beg God to do what He's going to do in our lives, do it quickly. But other than that, Steve, thanks. That was that poem and the worship today, guys, the songs, and our text today is just watching how God is putting it all together, how He just kind of knits and molds things perfectly, even though we don't realize it. Because today's text is what I've been looking at as like it's an embodiment of what was said in your poem, what was sung today, things that we're going through. It's everything that we're saved for are in these short little verses that we're going to look at today. We're going to be in verses 12 through 17 probably. If you take notes, if you break down in your own personal study, Paul, when writing to Timothy, outlined in a sense in this first chapter — there weren't chapters when he wrote this epistle, when he wrote this letter, we did that — but you know, Paul didn't just say things by mistake. He said it under the power of the Holy Spirit. And he gave four beautiful points in this first chapter that we've set off. And that was the loss of truth in verses 1 through 6. If you, again, like I said, if you're noting or if you look into this on your own, start to delve even deeper into it. You know, we just don't read a chapter and then go on. We should — what are the words? What is the application that God is trying to give to me? What would be that instruction for me in this letter that we're reading today that's lasted all these centuries? So the loss of truth was big. 1 through 6, the law of God was the next thing that Seth preached on. He gave us a beautiful expose on the law in verses 7 through 11. Today we're going to be looking at the love of Christ. And it's something that we just, oh yeah, I know God loves me. John 3:16. We need to go deeper into that. Craig gave a beautiful sermon on not the glorious gospel, and I like that you brought that out. That's how it says it in the King James. But what it really means in the Greek is the gospel of the glory of God. Anything could be glorious in a sense, but this is talking about the glory of God in the gospel that He's given to us about love. So today we're going to look a little bit more into the love of Christ. Next week, hopefully, if we get there, will be a life of faith as he closes out chapter 1. So let's just read verses 12 through 17 if you're there now, and then we'll break them down. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me. And if you feel comfortable — I've said it for years and years — if you got a pen and you feel comfortable, underline that word enabled. In some of your translations, it might have another word. But I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, for he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Verse 14, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And you can underline that I am too. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Father, help us to shut down the noise that goes on in our heads. The world, the problems, the things that we still need to do today and things to do that we didn't do yesterday. Just put them outside these walls for now, Lord. Help us to hear what it is I need to hear today. Father, that I might be able to take it and run with it in the time that we have left. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So as we break it down, a beautiful sermon. You know, self-esteem is a word that it just, in the Christian circles, it's really lost its original meaning. We're not supposed to have self-esteem. But, you know, I look at some of the writings, and when John made a statement about, you know, the disciple that Jesus loved, he could have put his name in there, or he could have put, you know, all the rest of them in there. That's a little bit of self. He knew that Christ loved him, and he wasn't ashamed of that. And some of us, our self-esteem, not only because of understandings and teaching, has gone down a little bit. Some of our self-esteem has suffered because of what we have done in our past, what we are still doing in our present. Worrying about, am I good enough? Am I qualified enough? And I see that our understanding of who we are in Christ suffers because of that. These verses, I pray for anybody today who feels inadequate about who we might be or where I am in the realm of God's using me, I'd ask us to rest easy, because as we're going to see, this has nothing in a sense to do with you and I except willingness and surrender. All the rest is done by the Lord. So I hope this lifts us up and gives us a little bit more self-esteem of who I am in Christ. No matter what you might think, or when you look in that mirror tomorrow, instead of the normal thoughts, how about, I'm the one that Christ loves. He loves me. And start our day off that way and see what we can accomplish throughout that day. So Paul makes a statement, I thank Christ Jesus. And that's something that we complain a lot about, the younger generation that exists outside here, that they've lost the thankfulness that they should have. Maybe that's because of the way that they've been brought up. I don't understand, you know, all the dynamics. Maybe it's because of some of the situations. But thankfulness in a broad picture seems to go out the window, doesn't it? Those of us, you know, I only wrote one letter to my mother in my life, so I'm really not qualified to say this, but my mother tried to bring us up. When you got a gift, when you got something, you wrote a thank you card, or you called and said thank you to that individual. That was something that was normal. It's gone, you know, what happened to that? It's almost like it's an expectation. Not with anybody in here, I know that, but you've probably seen that. Are we thankful to Christ, as Paul, when he starts this, I thank Jesus Christ our Lord who has enabled me. What a thing to be, you know, do I have anything to be thankful for today? Gee, this has happened, that's happened, this is in my life. I need to thank Christ first and foremost every day that he's enabled me, as he did to Paul. And we're going to apply this. You know, Paul is saying that Christ enabled him to be a minister, but each and every one of us, Christ has enabled. So as we, I don't know what else you have in there. It might be a given the ability or strengthened in some of your translations. What else is in there?
Who has given me strength?
Given me strength. Given the ability. Listen how Paul is speaking that so we can take that. You know, we see great orators, and we see people that are gifted and they fill stadiums, and we're just in awe by these people. Why aren't I like that? Oh, I'll never be like that. Oh, gee, you know, whatever it might be. It's not the individual. It's not me. It's not you. It's Jesus Christ who enables you, is what the Word of God is saying. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he's telling us it's not you. So stop thinking I can't stand for Christ. I can't read a poem up there in the front like Steve. I can't sing. I can't go out and witness. I can't. All the things that hold us, it's not us. It's Jesus Christ who we need to thank for those gifts that he's given us. There's a gift of poetry right there. There's a gift of, you know, JD playing the guitar. Then, you know, Dave singing and Alice and Dawn. Every one of us has some special gift that God has given to us to enable us in what we're doing today, walking this Christian walk. You know, does he need us? The Word of God says that he can make the rocks cry out. But I don't think he's made a rock cry out yet, has he? To my knowledge. He chooses to use each and every one of us who are willing and obedient to him. And then he enables us, once we show that willingness and that obedience, he enables us with the powerful gifts of the Holy Spirit. What trust has God got? You put your name in, I'm going to say in Doug Gibney. My God, the God of the universe, the God that created the spans of the universe like this, he just looks at it. He trusted each and every one of us with this gospel of glory to speak to someone. If that doesn't wow you, what does? You know, would you trust me with your hot rod? Probably not, you know. Would you trust me? You know, think of what you got that's a possession, and would you just trust somebody else with that most prized possession? I think the answer is no, but yet Christ has trusted each and every one of us who are in him with his gospel to take it, to hold on to it, to walk it outside these doors every Sunday afternoon until the following Sunday and speak it to one individual to show that love and how much he loves us. Wow. That is beyond what I know. So, given the ability, it's not me, it's not you. God has given us this ability. God has strengthened us. God has enabled us. Turn to John 15:5. If ever, you know, I'm not comfortable up here after 40 some odd years. Okay, that might somebody stop. You know, I'm not. Because if I make a mistake, and I think Craig will agree to that, if I make a mistake or interpret something because that's how I feel if I lead you astray, I'm going to answer for that at the throne one day. I am scared stiff up here on Sunday morning to present this glorious gospel properly. These worship this morning, oh, I hope we're ready. Oh, I don't know that song. And these guys did a wonderful job because they're taking a gift and God enables them to go ahead and utilize that gift. It's no different in any aspect of the ministry. But don't ever think that we can get up here. And that was one of the reasons I took 3 weeks. My life has been turned upside down, inside out, and the light is never going to return that was taken. But it's, you know, I can't come up here after not studying. There were days on end that I couldn't study. I couldn't read the word. It wasn't there. I'm not going to stand up here and preach a word to you that I'm not willing to do myself yet. I'm not going to stand here and tell you, as some people think, oh, he's telling me to do this. No, you know, I'm not going to say that unless I've done it. But it's not me. It's God who enables us to do those things that we're going to do from this point on. So as it says in John 15, is where I ask you to turn, verse 5. Better get moving. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same bring forth much fruit. For what, I think every translation, for without me, you can do nothing. We all think we can do so well. I can, you know, Pat says, you can do the sermon. You don't have, no, I can't. Without Christ being in this, without that instruction, without that leading, I can't do anything. And I knew I wasn't there. It wasn't like Christ wasn't there. I wasn't there for him when he was trying these last 3 weeks to bring something into my heart. I was too consumed with my stuff. But over these last 3 weeks, I've been locked on those verses 12 through 17, and God's been showing me it's me who is enabling you. And every other person that's going to be in my house, I will enable him with the power of my Holy Spirit, with the gifts that are necessary to do what we're reading here. So without him, I can do nothing. But turn to 1 Corinthians and let's compare this chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're talking about enablement. We're talking about the ability, the strength to do what it is to present the glorious gospel to one other person. We don't have to go knocking on doors. If that's not your style, don't go knocking on a door. But if God puts an opportunity in front of you where somebody's saying, gee, why is this happening? Gee, I feel like giving up. Gee, whatever it might be, realize it's not me. It's God trying to speak through me about his love for this individual. So in 1 Corinthians 12, timeline. Well, hey, I haven't been up, so I got a little time to make up, okay? Now, concerning, because what Paul's talking about, the enablement, that word, that's the gifts of the Holy Spirit that every single one of us in Christ has to understand we have a gift. Do you know your gift? And I'm not, you know, back in what, 20 years ago, they used to put a 52 questionnaire around to so you would understand your gift. That's not what it is. What do you do? What can you do? Can you play guitar, sing? JD, I don't even see, I can't find you. There you are. Play it then for the glory of God. Do you bake pies? Bake a pie to the glory of God and give it somebody. Can you visit somebody and say something worthwhile to the individual that's sitting there? Then do that. This is the enablement. Every one of us has something different. So Paul again is saying, now concerning spiritual gifts, 1 Corinthians 12:1, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. If we can get into what Paul was prior, this is amazing that God would use a man like that. So you're going to ask, as I asked 45 years ago, can God use a guy like me? What I did, where I was, the habits I had, the addictions I did, the type of thoughts that were in my heart and mind, could God use me? And the answer is yes, he can. And yes, he wants to use you. He's all you have today in that area of your life to go out there and tell somebody God loves you. I don't care if you believe that or not. When somebody, you know, God loves you. That's the truth of it. And God wants to have this relationship. He wants every single one of us. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaks by the Spirit of God, calls Jesus a curse, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, these are those enablements, those gifts. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, or that's ministries. You know, not everybody has the same gift in here. Not everybody has the same ministry, if you would, in this building, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, and that word operations is energies. You know, the Greek word, it means a different way. Some people are very quiet, very, you know, calm about things. Other people are so boisterous. That's where we got, oh, you're one of those Bible thumpers. You hit me on the head and stuff, you know. There are different operations, but it's the same God which works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. God has enabled me. Enabled me is what Paul was saying, for a purpose. For to one is given the spirit of the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another, verse 10, the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, and another interpretation of tongues. But all these work that one and selfsame Spirit, listen to this, dividing to every man severally as he wills. Not as I want, not what I think I'm capable of doing, that I can walk up there and do whatever it is that I want to do for the Lord. The Holy Spirit gives gifts to those who are willing and obedient and show that, well, I want to do this for you, Lord. Please enable me. And then he gives these gifts, one or many, to each and every one of us. I'd love to say how many are saved in the building today. Don't raise your heart. Hey, thank you, Donnie, ma'am. What's your gift? We've got at least one great gift, the greatest, the Holy Spirit. He's given us that. So, you know, what else is, the rest is like icing and cherries and sprinkles on a Sunday. God has enabled us. Turn back to Timothy, if you would. The question for verse 12 that really started just kind of took me over last week was, am I really thankful to God? Am I really thankful? Not just, oh yeah, I could say that. And if I'm not, and if you're not, then it's time that we just examine ourselves to a degree. And am I really thankful to God for Jesus Christ? Or am I taking it for granted after 45 years? Am I really thankful to God that he has enabled me to be a minister? To be, and you know, every one of us will see, you're a minister. All that word is diakonos. You're a servant. How many people want their kids to be servants? You know? I'm going to raise my kid up to be walked on. I'm going to raise my kid up to be a servant. I'm going to raise my child up to be, you know, just not love. God has called every one of us to be servants. And I wonder, am I really thankful as Paul was? Do I know? Question, you know, so there's a question. Am I thankful? Just honesty. Do I really know in my heart as I step out of this building today, when I open my mouth about the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, do I know it's not me? It's not how many scriptures I have memorized. It's not how many times I go to church during the week. It's God who is enabling me to speak to this poor individual who might spend eternity separated from him. Do I understand that it's God who's doing this and that Christ sees me faithful? What? You know yourself best, right? Let me have just one testimony of somebody who was unfaithful this week in what they knew they should have done. No. Okay. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has enabled me. Okay, so we've got that. For he counted me faithful. Paul is saying he counted me faithful. And he's going to tell us in a minute here, putting me into the ministry. God counts you faithful. I don't care what you feel like today. I don't care what you think about yourself today. Our Lord and Savior, if you are in Christ Jesus, he's looking at you as faithful. Do we grieve him? Do we fall short? Do we have faults? Yes. You know, there's no perfect, sinless perfection. But my God looks at me faithful. He knows why I wanted to take 3 weeks off this last month. He knew what was going through my heart. He knew what was going through your head last night, this morning, today. But he counts you faithful. Is that another thing to be thankful for? Thank you, Lord. You know me. You know me inside and out. And you still love me. Paul says, he did that for me in verse 13, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Now, most of us balk at what we have just heard about him counting us faithful and putting us into the ministry because we know ourselves too well. We know what we think. We know what we used to be. But Paul says, I was a blasphemer. That means he spoke evil of Jesus and Christians to begin with. Anybody ever do that? Remember before you were saved? These guys were like abducted by aliens or something, Christians. And they sit around and they have potlucks on Friday night. And I thought, I don't want anything to do with those people. But Paul says, I was a blasphemer. I was somebody who spoke evil of Jesus and Christians. I was a persecutor. This man killed Christians. He went one time, he went 250 miles. Foot and donkey and, you know, a little boat. He went 250 miles to persecute Christians, to put them to death, not just to say something bad. He held the cloak of those who stoned Stephen. Remember that? This was this guy that, wait a minute, he's saying God enabled me and he counted me faithful and he put me into the ministry, but here's who I was. I was insolent, which means proud. A bully, violent man, speech, pushing all your weight around is what he's saying there. He took a blasphemer and made him a believer. He took a persecutor and made him a preacher. And he took a murderer and made him a missionary. What's your excuse? What's my excuse? If God could save and use somebody like Paul, how about me? How about that one person that you know out there? That you're thinking, there's not a chance for that person. He'll never believe this. She'll never go for that. God wants that person. Because as we're going to see here, he wants to use you as an example. He wants to use you as a pattern. But sometimes in Christianity, we forget. See, Paul, I love the way he said that. He said exactly what he was. He wasn't bragging about it in our testimonies, in our witnessing. Sometimes we hold dear and we revel in those people that we used to be back then. Paul didn't do that, but I think our problem, sometimes we forget who we were back then. When we speak or see somebody else out there, we don't hold ourselves in that same position as we see that lost, worthless, oh, you know, God can't do anything there. That's not what Paul's saying here. He's saying who he was and how he was used, and he was used for a purpose. And that purpose was to save sinners in verse 15, of whom I am chief. I asked you to underline that before. I am chief. How come he didn't say, I was chief? Me and Craig, boy, we did some stuff back in the day, didn't we? So did you, Sue Ellen, sweet as you are. How come he didn't say, I was chief? Paul said, I am the chief. You know why? Because he knew these two things. He knew his mind. He knew who he was. He didn't forget. Those who have been forgiven much, love much, is what the Word of God said. And Paul realized how bad off he was. And now God is using this man, calling him faithful, taking his gospel throughout the world through this man. This is what's scary, but he wants to do that with each and every one of us too. Didn't end at Paul. Didn't stop there. Our self-esteem, that's who we were. Lost, dying. And Ephesians has said that we walked just like those Gentiles. Don't ever forget who we were before Christ. He didn't save us because, boy, I can't live without Dave. I can't live without Doug. I need these guys. He didn't do that. He loves us. That's why he saved us. He loved us. He didn't want to see us going through those things. He saw Paul going through these things, and he thought, I love him so much. I can make this man, if he just give me his heart, I can make him something. How many of us have kids? How many of us want to see our kids go to jail? No hands. How many of us want to see our kids be addicted to something? How many of us want to see our kids despised and thrown away? Not a one of us. That's us, human. Little finite beings. The infinite God wanted Paul. He wants you. He wants me to show this love. Why? Because he loves us. It's that simple. Like you love your child and you wouldn't want to see those things happening. That's how God is when he looks at us. He says, man, and I don't like to just pick out one. I say, you're faithful. I want to enable you. I love you. I want to use you. I want to take you out into this world and show them how much that I don't only love you, but I love them also. And that's what Paul is talking about. The key verse here was 15, a faithful saying. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That's still his main point and purpose. That's why you and I are saved, for no other reason. Not because we're so great, not because churches can't do without us, not because, you know, the world would just fall apart without you and I. Remember, rocks can cry out if Christ decides it. He did this because his point and purpose was salvation, to be a perfect propitiation for our sins, to wipe that sin out and show people Jesus Christ, number one, and love, number two. Still his point and purpose. How? Is he going to do this again? Is he going to do this again? No. He already was the suffering servant once, wasn't he? And he came and he was crucified. He is going to come again, believe it or not. Read Peter's handout that some of us, we just leave it on the seat. There's a point in there about Christianity has taken a downfall. I heard in some of my stuff this week that 65% of people do not go to church, period. That doesn't mean 65. That might not get you too bad. 90% of Protestant believers, which in a sense we are, 90%, most of them that were polled were ministers, pastors, do not believe in a second coming, do not believe in a rapture of the church. There are something like, I forget some of the stats that I just looked at that quick, 48% consider themselves no belief whatsoever. I have no faith, no nothing. We look at that and say, well, what does that mean? That means this is why you and I are saved. This is why Christ enables us. This is why Christ counts us faithful. Even though we were chief sinners, every one of us in some way or form, he wants to get his salvation gospel out there. Because he says in 16, how be it for this cause, what cause? To save sinners, right? How be it for this cause, I obtained mercy, and have you obtained mercy? Do we realize how big mercy of Christ is. We all think, I need this, I want that, I don't have this. We've obtained mercy. That in me first, Jesus Christ, in me first, Paul speaking, now it's you as you're reading this and applying that in me, Christ might show, Christ might show forth all long-suffering, his long-suffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. The whole point and purpose of Christ first was salvation. His whole point and purpose of saving each and every one of us, counting us faithful, enabling us, is salvation. And he wants to use you for a pattern. A pattern. I'm going to end with this. You know, I've said this one before too. I can remember Grandma had her, and she had one of these sewing machines that had, what do they call that, a treadle? She would spin it first. I'd love that. She'd hit that big wheel on the side first, and she'd have her hands there, and then she'd just be pumping away on that thing. And Teddy and I used to just watch her little gnarled up fingers and hands. And she'd take these things called patterns, and she'd order them, mail order, and they'd come in the mail, and she would have this roll of material and throw it out on the dining room table, and she'd put a piece of it on there. And then I remember putting, she had a little thimble there, and she'd stick these pins through it and put it in, and then she'd cut it out. And then she'd put it over the sewing machine, and she started putting, and before she was done, she had my sister a beautiful little dress. And she did that from a pattern. It wasn't the original that somebody, oh, I love that. I want to be just, I want to wear that. Well, then back then, you made it that way. And I want to use that pattern. He wants to use you as a pattern. There's patterns that came in all different sizes. My sister Eileen, you know her, she was just this little runway model when she was, 15, 17. We all change, right? But there were some people that liked that dress that weren't a little runway model. They were more full figured or something. Or, you can make a coat out of a... Patterns come in different sizes. They come in different colors. They come in different shapes. And that's us. That's what that verse is saying. God wants to use Doug Gibney, and he wants to use Alice Ames, and he wants to use Marilyn Sobey, and I can go down, he wants to use Hopi. You're my pattern, and I'm going to put you onto somebody's life, and they're going to cut out all the stuff that just doesn't matter anymore, that's unnecessary, and I'm going to put something together, and it's called salvation. It's called love. And God did this through faith and love, Paul says. Not my faith. Has anybody got some weak faith this week? I don't think this is going to happen. I don't know. I'm not sure. Paul's not talking about my faith and my love. He's talking about God's faith and God's love. That means when God says, I'm going to do something, my faith should agree, yes, you are. Not, oh, maybe. Oh, I blew it this week. I'm not worthy. That's not what he's talking about. God is going to use us as a pattern if we're willing in his faith in us. He's going to use us in his love, not the way I am. Now, the very last one with that should bring our self-esteem, our praises. Now, unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Read John 17 this week. It just didn't end with Paul. In 17, I think it's like, I don't know what, verses 23, somewhere in there. He's talking about sanctify him through your word. Your word is truth. As you have sent me, I'm sending them. Have we ever read? I'm sending you out there as a pattern. Not the same as Christ. Don't ever think that we're that high, but he's sending us out as a pattern, just like God sent Jesus. Jesus sent Paul. Paul is sending all those. It's coming down through the ages to each and every one of us. You're being sent in a special way. You're being sent to a special person. You're being sent to the only person that might listen is because of you. Don't leave it up to Billy Graham. He's gone. Franklin isn't coming to Netherlands. I've said that before. All the big time TV preachers, God bless them, but they're not coming here. Who's going to the firehouse? Who's going to talk to your grandchildren? Who's going to talk to the person at the water cooler? You and me, because we've obtained mercy. Why have I obtained mercy? Is the question I ended my studies with this week. Why me, Lord? And I'd ask you to open up your heart and mind, and I hope he answers you the same way as he told me. He said, I love you. Nothing else. There's nothing good in me. I know me better than any one of you. Things that squirrel around up in the attic, you know what happens up in yours. God says, I just love you. You're mine. I made you. Phew. Ask him why, and watch what he tells you. Father God, thank you. Thank you for your glorious gospel. Your gospel of glory, spoken in just even those short verses today of how much you love us. That you look beyond all that past that we have. You look beyond all of our shortcomings today. And you still want to use us to bring salvation to one more heart. So help us, Father God. Help us to get the word out. Help us to show people in whatever pattern we might be what you've done for us and what you say that you'll do for them too. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's knock them out with a worship song.